بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، برذرز اند سيسترز، الله سبحانه وتعالى ان سورة التوبة الله سبحانه وتعالى سيد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. الله سبحانه وتعالى سيد، surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their lives and their property in exchange for Jannah. What is the meaning of purchase? Purchase means that we have done the deal, we are going to pay a price for what we are buying, and as long as we pay the price, that thing which we have bought is ours, right? It's like saying I want to buy your car, and we agree on a price, and I say this is the price, you agree, I agree, car is still with you, I am going to bring the money or I am going to transfer the cash, whichever way, and as soon as the cash reaches you, I come and take the car. So once the deal is done, then the car belongs to me, right? I only have to take delivery, that's all. The car actually belongs to me. Now at that point, supposing I don't pay the cash, then who does the car belong to? Belongs to you, because the deal is done, and the deal is that when I pay this money, this thing is mine. And until then, the owner is holding the car. He treats it like your car, not like his own car. He will not give it to somebody, say, go to Delhi and come back. No, I have sold the car. This car is sold, belongs to somebody else. I am just waiting for the cash to be transferred. But if the cash is not transferred, then obviously the car belongs to the original owner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, Jannah actually belongs to you. I have bought it in exchange for your life and your wealth. How much life, how much wealth? All your life, all your wealth. And if you do that, if you give that, your life and your wealth, Jannah belongs to you. Now, we see the tafsir of this ayat. We see the understanding of this ayat in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the lives of his Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain. And this is an example for us that if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannah, we all make dua for Jannah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-Jannah wa na'uzu bika min an-nar. O Allah, we ask you for Jannah and we ask you for protection from the fire. We all make this dua. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to accept this dua. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I have already given you Jannah. It belongs to you. So take it. How do you do that? By spending our life and our wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the meaning of spending life and wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It doesn't mean go die somewhere. It doesn't mean take all your wealth and give it away in charity and then live the rest of your life like a fakir. No. To spend all your life and to spend all your wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to live this life in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wherever, whatever is the need of the time, is the need of the hour, is the need of Islam, we serve that. Whatever the form of that service might be. In some cases it might be spending energy and time and effort, in some cases it might be giving in charity and giving wealth, in some cases it might be something else. Whatever it is, we serve Islam, and the way to serve Islam is to live according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is all. Allah is not asking you to beggar yourself for something, no. We see the example of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. We have the famous story of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raising funds for Tabuk. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu brought everything that he had and gave it all. This, alhamdulillah, this is an example for us, alhamdulillah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that only from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. When some other sahaba, another sahabi brought, at another time, a sahabi brought a piece of gold and gave this in the, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have brought this to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you have anything else? He said, no, I have nothing. I have only this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only did not accept it, he took it and he threw it. And he threw it so hard that the recorder of the hadith, he said that if that piece of gold flying through the air had hit the man in his head, he would have died. Yeah, he threw it with so much force. And he said, people like this come and they give, and then they complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they complain in the world and say, I have become a beggar and I have lost everything because I gave in the path of Allah. He said, I don't accept this, take it away. Now, obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is treating people differently according to what he knows about their capacity to do something. And it's also a lesson for us that Allah is not asking us, and in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. He said, don't give such that your hand is tied to your neck. He said, do not try to give charity in a way which makes you into somebody who is in need. Allah has given you, alhamdulillah, by all means spend in the path of Allah. But don't do it in a way where you have deprived yourself and your family of their rights. Now, I don't think any of us is even remotely in that danger. May Allah forgive us. Today we are living in a world where people, Muslims, don't even want to give zakat, which is 2.5%. So, where is the question of giving charity to the point of beggaring yourselves? Our problem is we beggar ourselves in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, one of the big problems in the old city is a debt trap. People are, I'm reading articles saying that people in the old city are all in huge debt traps, and the principal reason for this debt trap is ostentatious weddings. Is money they have spent in giving dowries, which is haram, and in spending money on ostentatious weddings, which is also haram. And for that, they are borrowing money on interest and they are stuck. They are borrowing money on interest and they are stuck in a debt trap. So, this is our problem. Our problem is that we are beggaring ourselves not in obeying Allah, but in disobeying Allah. We are not only disobeying Allah, we are inviting the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by engaging in interest-based transactions. And then we are paying the price for it because we don't want to understand that somebody who is buying the enmity of Allah cannot possibly be happy, he cannot possibly be safe. Now, what is to be done if we are mentally retarded? May Allah protect us from this. So, this is our problem. So, we need to get out of this. So, Allah said, Jannah is yours, belongs to you, take it. That is all. So, who has an objection to that? Except somebody who has no iman, no faith, he does not believe in Jannah, does not believe in Allah, it's a different matter. But if somebody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who believes in Jannah, who believes that one day he will die and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for such a person, what is the issue? And as I said, it's very simple. The simple thing is, do what Allah ordered us to do and do not do what Allah did not order us to, what Allah ordered us to stop from doing. That is all. And the best judge for that, the best criterion to decide whether I am doing what Allah has ordered and whether I am stopping from what Allah has prohibited, the best standard for that is the seerah of, is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as we are following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we cannot go wrong. There is no, it's not possible, because whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is halal, and what he did not do is not halal. So, if he has done something, we do it. If he did not do something, we don't do it. If we don't know, we ask. Very simple formula to do this. As I mentioned the other day, one wish, one fear. The wish to please Allah, the fear of displeasing Allah. That's it. Life becomes extremely simple. There is no confusion. There is no stress. There is no unnecessarily, you know, engaged in stupid questions. Should I do this? Should I do that? This is happening. That. No need for any of that. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One wish, one fear. The wish to please Allah, the fear of displeasing Allah. That's it. Khalas. And Jannah is yours, inshallah. I am not giving Jannah on behalf of Allah. Allah is saying it. I mentioned, gave you the reference of the ayah, Surah Tawbah. Read ayat number 110. This is the essence and the beauty of Islam. Follow the seerah and the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if we do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us a beautiful life in this dunya, and He promised us Jannah both. Allah did not say you will suffer in the dunya, but you will get Jannah. No. In this dunya also, you will be very happy. Alhamdulillah, Allah will keep you safe from disease, from ailments, from problems, from poverty, from insecurity, all issues. Allah will sort all that out for you, and in the akhirah, you will have Jannah. Now, what is the problem with that? If somebody's got a problem with that, then I have no answer. But I'm saying, if you don't have a problem with that, then this is the, there is no great secret. I mean, this is, people say, what is the secret of, there is no secret. Islam is open and clear. There is no secret. There is no message under the message and under the message and hidden and nothing is hidden. Everything is open. Live your life according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which means live your life in accordance with the orders of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, and Jannah is yours. Because Allah said, I have bought your life and your wealth. Meaning what? Meaning this belongs to Him. If it belongs to Him, what must I do? I must do with it what He told me to do. As simple as that. We are not giving it to anybody. It's the thing, if it belongs to Him, you know, take any example. I mean, I these are all things which don't even need examples. If something belongs to somebody else, what must I do with it? If I, Mazharbhai, supposing he says, I am parking my car here, please take care of it. Okay, very good. That is, car is whose? Mazharbhai's car. Now, I am running it like a taxi. People will say, what kind of thing is this? You have no integrity. You are a dishonest man. I mean, car belongs to Mazhar. Did Mazharbhai allow you to run it as a taxi? If he allowed you, no problem. But if he did not allow you to run it as a taxi, he said, please take care of my car. What does it mean? It means, ensure it is safe, right? If it is dirty, clean it. But I am taking it and running it like a taxi. I am making money from this car. Car belongs to him. Then? So this life does not belong to me. My wealth does not it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gave me Jannah in exchange for this. So what must I do? With this life, with this wealth, I must do what Allah told me to do. Bas. Jannah is mine. Finished. And what Allah told me to do is always for my benefit. Allah did not say starve to death. Allah did not say burn your house. Allah did not say sell your family. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, live a nice, decent, comfortable life with honor. Just don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do what Allah made haram. If we do what Allah made haram, who does it harm? Allah? It harms us. You want to go smoke cigarettes? Go, no problem. Die with cancer. You want to drink alcohol? Go drink alcohol. Die with cirrhosis of the liver. Nobody's stopping you. Please go ahead, do it. You want to fall into debt and, you know, ostentatious weddings and Ghana parties and God knows what. Please go ahead, do that. No problem. Then the Marwadi fellow, whoever gave you the debt, will come and break your leg and break your head. No problem. Go break it. Whose problem is it? Is it Allah's problem? It is your problem. So if we live our life according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us, who does it benefit? We. Benefits us. If we break Allah's laws, who does it harm? Harms us. I mean, this is such a no-brainer, I don't understand. I mean, what is the complication, what is the difficulty about understanding this? Why do we insist on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and buying trouble? I remind myself and you, please, let us get out of this. High time. Every day we hear a story, this person passed away, that person passed away, that person passed away, and our standard response, Arey, kal tak acche the na? Sob kal tak acche rahe. He was okay till yesterday. Of course he was okay till yesterday. Today he died. One day that will happen to me, one day that will happen to you. So let us live our lives as Allah ordered. Let us not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us follow the orders of Allah. let us live our lives according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that we have a beautiful life here and we have Jannah in the Akhirah, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.